This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, July 6th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, tiny stowaways on foreign ships and the lawsuits that follow. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Governor Rod Blagojevich was a no-show Thursday as lawmakers discussed his plan for pension funding. The governor stayed away from the hearing, a decision that angered many in the General Assembly. Sean Crawford reports.
Mike Smith, a Canton House Democrat, was among those called into special session in Springfield this week. The governor made that decision, and what he says is an attempt to jumpstart stalled budget talks. Illinois is still without a budget for the full year, but Smith says there's not much for the rank and file to do, as it's legislative leaders and the governor who negotiate the spending plan. Instead, the House held a hearing on Blagojevich's idea to sell the state's lottery to a private firm and use the proceeds to pay down pension debt. There appears to be only limited support for the plan, so the governor chose not to go. Smith says that's a mistake.
You know, he wants rank and file legislators to be engaged in the process. I think he needs to be equally engaged, probably more than actual individual legislators.
Others say it raises questions as to how much the governor wants to work with the General Assembly. But in a letter to the House Speaker, Blagojevich indicated his attendance at the hearing would have served no purpose and blamed Speaker Mike Madigan, a fellow Democrat, of playing political games. The governor says he'll keep lawmakers at the Capitol each day until there's a budget deal. I'm Sean Crawford.
State Senator John Sullivan believes Illinois lawmakers are quite close to finishing work on a plan to reduce electric rates. Rich Egger has that story.
The Rushville Democrat says the measure will provide immediate rate relief and will provide oversight to make sure the most competitive prices are obtained. It might also give the state the option of building and owning power plants. Something else being considered is a re-regulation of the industry, thus allowing power companies to once again own plants and sell the electricity.
Will we have that option in there? That's really one of the issues that's up for discussion right now, one of those things that hasn't been agreed upon.
Sullivan says it's taking a long time to fix the problem of high electric rates, but adds it's important for lawmakers to get it right. Sullivan can feel consumers' pain. He has an all-electric home, so his bills increased around 100% this year. Rich Egger reporting.
Descriptions provided by a Central Illinois soldier are allowing the Navy to investigate claims that Camp Pendleton Marines killed between 5 and 10 unarmed suspected Iraqi insurgents who had been captured during a fierce battle in Fallujah in November 2004. The criminal probe centers on the actions of several members of Kilo Company, 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines, according to Marines who spoke to the Associated Press on the condition of anonymity. Different members of the same unit were later accused of wrongdoing in the killings of 24 civilians in Haditha in 2005. The investigation was launched when Ryan Weimer of Hinesboro, Illinois, applied for a job with the Secret Service. When asked during a polygraph test if he had ever participated in a wrongful death, Weimer described the killings. Weimer could not be reached for comment, but his sister said he was trying to put the event behind him. Staff at Carle Foundation Hospital can now search a computerized database to quickly learn of a patient's history. The EMR, or emergency medical record, not only digitally stores and tracks information like allergies and prescriptions, but lets Carle staff enter the information once a patient is admitted. William Hsu is the medical director of Carle's EMR system.
Admission history and physical, the orders that are placed for the patient, the medications they're on, but also all the nursing assessments, their vitals and so forth, and things that all caregivers really need to have at their fingertips to make sure that the patient gets the right care and safe care at all times.
The emergency medical record is being installed in four phases, and three of them are already completed. Information from Carle's pharmacists, emergency department, and nursing staff have all been entered into the system, with only physicians' notes yet to be done. Hsu says the system is expected to improve safety and reduce costs. He says only a handful of hospitals in Illinois use the computerized system, most of them in the Chicago area. Purdue University is planning nearly $90 million in construction projects, including a new utility plant boiler. The $53 million boiler will use clean coal technology. It's part of a plan to supplement or replace aging facilities and make heating and cooling more efficient. The new boiler is expected to be in operation by 2011. Other projects include a $30 million animal disease diagnostic laboratory and a nearly $7 million addition to the Aviation Technology Building. The lab will help Purdue scientists study and contain illnesses such as bird flu that can jump from animals to humans. Purdue's Board of Trustees is expected to discuss the projects today. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. For decades, foreign ships have brought tiny stowaways, called invasive species, into the U.S. And once they get loose, they upend ecosystems and cause billions of dollars in damage. The shipping industry has yet to seriously address the problem, and now conservation and environmental groups are suing the companies they say are most at fault. Mark Brush has more.
In 1998, the now infamous zebra mussel slipped out of a ship's ballast tank near Detroit. It didn't take long for it to spread, first throughout the Great Lakes, then through the Ohio and Mississippi rivers, then on to Alabama and Oklahoma, and now it's as far west as Nevada. The mussels clog up intake pipes at water and power plants and mess up the food chain. In some places in the Great Lakes, they've severely damaged the sport fishing industry. And that's the damage just one foreign pest can do. More than 100 have gotten in, and more are on the way. The government has done little to stop the spread of these pests from foreign ships. In 2005, a federal court in California ordered the EPA to set up a system. The EPA appealed that ruling. Andy Buxbaum is the director of the National Wildlife Federation's Great Lakes office. He says ballast water from foreign ships should be regulated.
The law is very clear. The Clean Water Act says you cannot discharge pollution into navigable waters, like the Great Lakes, without first obtaining a permit. Period. Any discharge without a permit is illegal.
So, instead of waiting for the EPA to act, several environmental and conservation groups, including Buxbaum's group, say they are planning to sue several shipping companies that operate ocean-going boats on the Great Lakes. They're targeting 9 boats they feel are the biggest violators. Industry representatives have said that ballast water regulations would hurt international shipping. But in the Great Lakes, it's estimated that ocean-going ships make up only 6% of the overall tonnage. Joel Brammeyer is with the Alliance for the Great Lakes, one of the groups that intends to sue the ship owners. He says a few ocean-going boats have caused a lot of damage.
The cost savings that we're seeing from allowing unregulated ocean shipping on the lakes pales compared to the economic burden that invasive species are placing on the lakes. That's stunning. The ocean-going shipping industry is actually bringing in less than the region is losing because of the things that ocean-going ships unintentionally bring in.
The environmental and conservation groups who intend to sue say there are ballast water cleaning technologies available now. The National Wildlife Federation's Andy Buxbaum says they're willing to back off their lawsuit if the ship owners promise to clean up their ballast water.
This legal action is not designed to shut down the shipping industry in the Great Lakes. That is not our intention. Our intention is to get these guys to comply with the Clean Water Act. And that means putting on treatment technology and getting permits.
The shipping industry says it needs more time. Steve Fisher is with the American Great Lakes Ports Association. He concedes that there are some technologies to clean up ballast water.
I'll be very frank with you. There's technologies out there that will do something.
So why not use those?
Because a ship owner needs to know how high the bar is before he jumps over it.
In other words, the ship owners won't clean up their ballast water until the federal government tells them how clean is clean. And so far, the federal government hasn't done that. The EPA and the shipping industry say they're working on the decades-old problem. But the groups that intend to sue say they're not moving fast enough. More invasive species are getting in. They're hoping the threat of a lawsuit will help force more action sooner. For the Environment Report, I'm Mark Brush.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois. Sunny skies today with a high of 88 degrees. Tonight mostly clear, the low around 65. Tomorrow sunny with a high around 90. Saturday night, mostly clear skies, the low around 68. Sunny skies with a high around 90 once again. Mostly clear Sunday evening, the low around 72. Starting next week, mostly sunny on Monday with a high around 92 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, July 6th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.